Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today we're going to talk about the coronation. Conspiracies about the coronation of King Charles III, the ancient rites, the rituals revealed to us, force-fed, spoon-fed into our mouths. So today we're going to decode the symbolism of the coronation. I'm going to talk about all kinds of stuff. Vestments, crowns, jewels, thrones, stones of scones, and a little bit on Prince Andrew. You know, we couldn't not include a little Epstein talk on here. And then I got some controversial stuff. Oh, got my papers here. Got my Data Wars papers here. What are you guys telling me to say here? Let's take a look. We're gonna talk about the Grim Reaper. People spotted the Grim Reaper there. Lizard people. I know what you want. You want the lizard people talking. I'm going to save that for the end. But overall, we're going to find out how the global Babylonian Empire is here, and we're all celebrating it like a bunch of stooges. So, yeah, we're going to talk about all that. And if you are on my Rockfin or Tier 2 and up supporter, I am sorry, I have no video for you today. Usually I give you a video version of me ranting and raving and looking at you. I don't have that today. I'm just a normal guy living a normal life, and I got windows getting replaced, and I've got contractors all over the house. So, you know, it's suburban hell lifestyle is where we're at. So anyway, no video today because I got to keep pausing and, hey, what do you need? Oh, okay. Dogs are barking. It's just too chaotic today. But I wanted to hurry up and get this out while it was a trending topic for you, because I know a lot of people have been talking about it. So I thought, why not me also? So let's get into it. Oh, and before we get into it, shout out to everyone signing up. I had a ton of signups on Patreon and my Apple Premium feeds. Thank you for signing up. That's literally what's keeping this thing afloat. If people stop supporting on those things, I'd be done. I'd just be at a dreaded day job full time and saying, you know what, this is my path. Because you know what, there's actually some merit to just going to work, keeping your head down, and whatever, getting the job done. I don't know. Anyway, thank you for supporting. I appreciate it. All right, the coronation. 5 hours long. I recorded it 5 hours on my DVR that I can't wait to get back. Who's watching 5 hours of this nonsense? I'll tell you who. Katy Perry. She was there. I can't think of the damn, was it the 2015 Super Bowl? She came out as the Scarlet Woman on the lion riding the beast. We also had Lionel Richie was there, Nick Cave, and I only know who Nick Cave is because I mentioned him on a show a long time ago, and people got real upset I didn't know who he was. Don't be sad, my child. It's okay. I don't know all the celebrities. But he was there. And then, of course, Tom Cruise, you know, the second greatest actor of all time. He was kind of there. He was there in his own Tom Cruise-y kind of way. He did a little video of him piloting an aircraft and told King Charles he could be his wingman anytime. Do the royals watch Top Gun? I don't know. Do lizard people like watching movies? American movies? Red-blooded American movies like that? I don't even know. I'm going to read to you from Time Magazine. King Charles III will be crowned at his coronation at Westminster Abbey today, a ceremony that features odes to the past and royal legacy, while also looking ahead to his reign through a mixture of bold and subtle symbols. The royal family, heads of state, and other notable guests are gathering for the coronation that, in comparison to Queen Elizabeth's 70 years ago, will be subdued, but still marked by the traditional regalia and pomp that the royal family has fulfilled for more than 1,000 years. this is really about generational legacies, not just about a state occasion, but very much about dynastic legacies, Romita Ray, an art history professor at Syracuse University, tells Time. The coronation symbols have these dual meanings for both state as well as dynasty. And of course, we're talking about the bloodlines. We'll come back to that. Let me finish reading here. The coronation planners were meticulous to plant symbolism in all the artwork leading up to the event. Well, we'll of course come back to what that symbolism is. Says that, and why, right? Why do we care about any of this? Because this is proof positive, an example of actual ritual happening, being conducted in front of the public for public consumption. And like I always talk about, this goes back to the ancient occultists of the mystery schools. They knew that symbols held power. They could convey thoughts, attitudes, beliefs through occult ceremonies and practices. This one in particular is making sure you know who's got the divine right to rule over you. All right. Now, I was looking at it because I'm not very smart on the royals. ABC7 has a guide on it, and they say that William the Conqueror was the first to hold a coronation back on Christmas Day in 1066. But of course, like we said earlier, the most recent was 1953 with Queen Elizabeth II. And all of these things, they're done at Westminster Abbey by whoever's the Archbishop of Canterbury. That Archbishop of Canterbury wears the, and I am not Catholic, but he wears that fish head hat called a mitre. And today's going to be, you know, big shout out to David Icke on today's episode. You know, he's one of my red pill daddies. And he held a lot of influence over this because he talked about the royals a lot. That's kind of the limit of my information and knowledge on the royals. But he talks about the Catholics and how they wear the mitre. And it looks just like a fish mouth. And David Icke says this comes from the Dogon tribe of Mali that depicted their fish god of Babylon with this mitre. Because he talks a lot about how the Catholic Church and the Vatican, they really just take these Babylonian symbols and put a new mask on it and say, okay, you're worshiping Christ and Christianity, when the reality is, no, you're really just worshiping the Babylonian Empire. And he's talking about the Dogon, and this was a tribe. You can find this on Ancient Aliens, talked about them a bunch. They were a tribe in Africa, that famously knew about Sirius being a binary star because they're Sirius A and B. Before they had telescopes. Now, I've read that that's fake news also. It's just a fun story, I guess. I don't know. But they believe their ancestors actually come from Sirius. And this is very important in terms of the occult. The Freemasons call it the Blazing Star. A lot of the Aleister Crowley, OTO magician types, like Kenneth Grant, talked about Sirius being the source of thelemic energy. Thelema being Aleister Crowley's vision of a new magical future for mankind in his Aeon of Horus. That seems to still be happening. I mean, if you dig into that. It's a very self-centered world. Of course, right? Because that's what magicians do. The black magicians. Because you got white and black magic, right? And black magicians and black magic, it's all about fueling up the self and the ego, being greedy and narcissist and trying to rearrange the universe towards your own will instead of all of humanity. No, okay, where were we here? But yeah, anyways, these Dogon, they believe their ancestors come from Sirius and they venerate primordial spirits that they call the Nomo, which are depicted as these amphibious, fishy hermaphrodites. I'm going to read you from Wikipedia. The Dogon religion and creation mythology says that the Nomo were the first living, was the first living creature created by the sky god Amma. Shortly after his creation, Nomo underwent a transformation and multiplied into four pairs of twins. One of the twins rebelled against the universal order created by Amma. To restore order to his creation, Amma sacrificed another of the Nomo progeny, whose body was dismembered and scattered throughout the universe. So that story has a lot of talk about blood sacrifice, which we could talk about Princess Diana, which we will in the conclusion. It also sounds very similar to the story of Osiris being dismembered and his body parts scattered by, Set. Isis put him back together. And we're also going to talk about Osiris. That plays a very big role in this whole thing. Now there's five stages to the coronation ritual. The first stage is recognition, where the monarch is presented to the mouth-breathing sheeple. Then you've got the coronation oath, where the archbishop asks King Charles a bunch of questions and makes him promise on the Bible that he's not a lizard person. Then you've got the anointing, where they do, you know, the holy unction with the holy oil. Then you've got the investiture. They put on the regalia, and they do it behind a big covering, and which I watched. You know, I didn't watch all 5 hours. I watched the first few hours. I fast-forwarded through a lot of it. It felt very, I don't know, Harry Potter. What's the school called he goes to? I don't even care. Felt very Harry Potter-ish. But still, I thought, man, who the hell is watching 5 hours of this stuff? Then the last stage is the crowning, where they put that baller-ass crown right on his head. I saw that too. The homeboy shoves it on there and then sort of looks like he's got it cranked down pretty tight. I imagine you wouldn't want that falling off while you're making your decrees or whatever. I looked it up. It says, blah, blah, blah. Why do kings and queens wear crowns? It is to adorn the head that has been anointed with an earthly halo. And where they are crowned also has symbolism. We crown them on a tumulus, an old Saxon and Teutonic tradition where you raise the new king on the burial chamber of a previous king. The tumulus in Westminster Abbey is made up principally of Edward the Confessor's tomb. So they did it on top of a dead body. And this is very much like we talked about with the Osiris Rising ritual. If you listened back in September 2020, I did a four-part series on QAnon, which I had to retitle The American Occult. All right. For reasons you should understand. Because at the time, they were kicking everybody off of everything for talking about Q. Whatever. But it's kind of like what we talked about in part one. I'll try to remember to put a link in the show notes. But the idea is that at the presidential inauguration every year, every 4 years, they do the Osiris Rising ritual. And this goes back to ancient Egypt. The new pharaoh had to replace the old one. So they did it ritualistically. And the power is transferred. And the power they are referring to is the spirit of Osiris. So that Osiris never really dies. He keeps being resurrected. Because he's the dying and resurrecting god. So each pharaoh would be incarnate, the new incarnation of Osiris. And in America, we replicate that because Francis Bacon said America was going to be the new Atlantis. And the new Atlantis is the place where we will restore the golden age of Osiris, they claim. And depending on who you talk to, that's referring to Lucifer. Lucifer. Because a lot of the occultists like Blavatsky and such, they would always rant and rave about Lucifer. How great Lucifer is. And they don't think he's Satan. They're like, no, he's not a bad guy. He's just trying to help humanity out. He's the Prometheus archetype. Trying to give man fire. Technology to make his life better. Now, Tom Horn has a very Christian bias on there. I got to say that. I still, you know, whatever, right? Everyone's got a bias. Let's just, we just got to be clear about what the bias is. Tom Horn talked about, I learned about it from him, the Osiris resurrection ritual. And it's basically using this lost symbol of Washington, D.C. to incarnate Osiris into the body of a president. That's why it doesn't matter which political party they are affiliated with. It's considered the apotheosis, or the resurrection of the spirit of the gods of Osiris. This is why the inauguration happens at the dome, which is the symbol for the womb of Isis. They rebirth the candidate out of the womb. And the candidate faces the obelisk of Washington's monument, the giant phallus. That's, of course, in the story, the mythology of Osiris. That's the final piece, because the story, the mythology of Osiris goes like this. Set, he was hating, so he cut up Osiris into 14 pieces. I think it was 14, 13 or 14, I think it was 14. And Isis, who was Osiris's consort, went around trying to retrieve all the pieces to reassemble him, couldn't find the penis. That's the lost symbol. And allegedly why you see the obelisk as such an important symbol to these occultists. And she instead fashioned a penis out of wood and used the magic of Hermes or Thoth to animate Osiris's body. She then went reverse cowgirl, got impregnated with the magical wooden phallus, and gave birth to Horus. That's the story. And that's why you see those symbols like the Washington Monument being a giant 666-foot penis. 555 feet above ground and 111 below ground is what they say. But why do they do it? Why do they do all these stages of the ritual? Well, they'll explain it to you. They will straight up tell you it's about presenting the king to the people whom it will rule over. The people have to accept their rulers. This is very much like all the ideas of the Luciferian occult New World Order, because we have free will, but we have to take part of it for it to work. This is the ritual. They call it that because it's not even hidden from the public view. It's intended for us to take part of it. They're showing it on American TV. What do we care? Because they say the British Empire is still in control. And you peel that back and it's the lizard people. That's what the claim is. But they need the public to legitimize it and allow it to happen. In fact, I'm going to play you a little clip where this guy talks about how they need to confirm the leader and make sure the people allow it to happen and listen to him. He even tells you it goes all the way back to ancient Egypt. Take a listen.
This morning as we start to watch this unfold.
Well, Susanna, this is a ceremony that goes back not just hundreds but almost thousands of years. Its inspiration comes from biblical times and the ancient Egyptians. But this is relatively modest compared to what Charles's forebears had to go through. They would have processed from the Tower of London, the bastion of the state, where they would have prayed the night before and been guarded, because successions, and this is what the coronation is all about, successions have been contested in the past, and it's important to legitimize the monarch in front of his people. And that is why there is so much pomp and pageantry. It is a way of legitimizing a monarch, much as the inauguration of an American president would do perform the same sort of ceremonial function in the United States. So a smaller procession than happened in the 17th and 16th and 15th centuries, which would have gone throughout the entire city.
So yeah, it's kind of just like the Osiris rising ritual in DC. It's about succession, confirming the new leader. They have to formalize it because you can't have it being contested. So the big ritual is to make it more real. And they have to legitimize it. That's why they show all the jewels and the gold and the bedazzling and the celebration. Because who's trying to hate on that? Ain't nobody trying to stop that. Everyone's just enamored by it. So moving on to the symbolism, First, when we talked about the phallus of Osiris earlier, okay? Well, and shout out to Red Druid's daughter on Instagram, left a note for me to check this out. I'm going to read you from the National Post. It says, mystery surrounds the latest addition to the Royal Crescent, the renowned British site known for its perfect lawns. Sometime overnight, a phallic symbol measuring nearly 10 meters in length was mowed into the lawn, leaving residents in Bath, England, bemused as to who is responsible and why it happened. The phallus was mowed into the lawn just 2 days before the coronation of King Charles III. A coronation party is planned for the grounds on Saturday, with flyers noting, celebrate the 300th anniversary of the Georgian era. Now, were there just people pranking? I've saw some people claim that they think it's a reference to Bridgerton, which was apparently filmed there. But what I can tell you is the phallus is a symbol of male energy and fertility. Again, referencing the Osiris mythology. Isis making that phallus do what it do. Gives new meaning to the pillar of Hermes, right? The brown snake turned to brown stick, like Dave Chappelle talked about through the magic of Hermes. So that happened, and that was weird. But listen, there's more. Let's look at the invitations. I'm going to read you from the news. Last month, Buckingham Palace released the invitation that over 2,000 guests were set to receive for the coronation. The invitation's original artwork was hand-painted in watercolor and gouache? I don't even know how to say the words. Also, pour, I don't even know how to say the words. Ganache? I don't know. Then printed on recycled cards with gold foil detailing added. The invitation's border is a sprawling British wildflower meadow featuring symbols such as rosemary sprigs for a remembrance. Flowers appear in groups of three, signifying that the king is the third monarch of his name. The design centers on the Green Man, an ancient figure in British folklore who symbolizes spring and rebirth. Now, the Green Man, again, yet another symbol of fertility. Interesting, they have the male king inauguration. They have all this penisry, all this penis pageantry. And the Green Man is another symbol of the fertility and the nature regenerating every spring. And this goes back as pagan roots, of course, a lot of nature worship. But to be fair, you do see it on some Christian churches, like old ones, right? And in the religion of Wicca, they use images of the Green Man to represent the horned god. So there's a lot of Illuminati firm occult activity with the Green Man. You see it in films like The Wicker Man. The Green Man Inn is where Officer Howie spends the night. You can with Britt Eklund, right? And what was that movie? Men by Alex Garland, the guy who did. Oh man, what's the other movie he did? One of my favorite movies of all time, Annihilation. Men, you know, it was fine. It was a little out there. It was no Annihilation, but it was interesting. But they use the symbolism of the Green Man in there. And it's apparently on the invitation to the cards. Moving on to St. Edward's Crown. It has 444 stones. Weighs almost 5 pounds. Now, which is pretty heavy, right? I mean, imagine putting a 5-pound dumbbell on your head and walking around. But the number 444... You know, you see those three repeating numbers, they're angel numbers, and you can't ignore the numerology gematria aspect here. 444 in numerology, you can find all sorts of definitions of what it means. But the one that seems most applicable is that of transformation. I'm going to read to you from USA Today. With new opportunities and potential on the horizon, 444 brings a phoenix energy. Seeing this angel number signifies a period of recreation or personal betterment. Think of it as a Pokemon evolution. From this, four and Phoenix energy is also a connection to fire and a sense of burning down to build back up again. It's being willed. Sorry, it's hard to read this one. It's being willing to kind of burn it down if necessary. So what the hell is that supposed to mean? Maybe that's what the crown symbolizes. I don't know. That's a stretch, I think. But, you know, you talk about the phoenix. That's the rebirth symbolism. So you got a lot of rebirth symbolism going into this event. And like we talked about earlier, they flat out told you they baked a lot of symbolism into the whole thing. It's kind of like a Stanley Kubrick movie, right? You know the guy took it serious. So when you see some symbols, perhaps they are there on purpose. And what's that purpose? It's like trying to decode a sigil. What is the magical intention? How is the magician or the practitioner, the mastermind behind this thing, trying to rearrange the universe according to their own will? And his wife, Queen Camilla, will reuse the Queen Mary 1911 crown. The Buckingham Palace said, in the interests of sustainability and efficiency. Oh, brother. Give me a break. Oh, really? You guys are being real sustainable over there? I'm sure you're completely not on private planes. And I mean, give me a break. How much did that Tom Cruise plane ride cost to make the dumb video, right? And us, anyway. So it is kind of ironic, right? It's kind of ironic that they're wearing crowns with millions of dollars of diamonds and gems taken from blood diamonds and all this crazy stuff. And then they want to talk about sustainability. Okay. And I saw they gave him some big blinged out sword too. Pretty sick. Now the, and look, I'm not hating, you know what I mean? Like, if someone came in here with a 5-pound crown of jewels and diamonds, you better believe I'm stapling that to my head. That ain't coming off. Everywhere I go, I'm wearing that crown. You know? So I get it. It's fine. Then we've got the Sovereign Scepter with cross. It's a 3-foot gold rod with gems and a cross, and it contains what's called the Kulinin. Man, they make these words hard to read when you're not familiar. Kulinin 1. It's the world's largest diamond, apparently. It's worth $500 million, $400 million. And apparently the South Africans are petitioning to get it back. And isn't that fitting to what's going on here? We're talking about, I don't know which direction we're going to end up, but you can see there's an awakening happening. Over the last few years, there's been awakening happening. And the real question is, are people being taken down the correct path or the wrong path with this awakening? Because there's all this energy being charged up, right? I had a guest on the podcast, I don't even know how many years ago, 3 years ago now. And he was talking about how they're basically compressing a coil, compressing a spring. And that energy has to go somewhere. And it's being released. And you could argue that they're taking that energy and making sure real positive change doesn't happen. You could argue that. People are being duped into worshiping Donald Trump and QAnon, who, you know, isn't real and all this stuff. Because there's all this energy and people are, and like I always say, it's like the spirit of what's happening here, I'm supportive of it, but I don't really agree with the behaviors and the actions happening. People are waking up saying, man, there's abusive kids happening here and there and everywhere. That's bad. Like, good. I'm glad we all agree on that. But then all these political forces start taking over and saying, well, let's kind of manipulate you and trick you and dupe you into not making any real change happen and making you fight amongst each other instead of fixing what's going on. But yeah, there's massive amounts of awakening to these institutions, these power structures, yet nothing really changes ever. Wouldn't you know it? It's because the media is run by six companies. How difficult is it for six people to come together and say, look, you take this strategy, I'll take this strategy, we'll keep them from making any real change happening while we continue to fleece them and limit their upward mobility, all the while pushing a new world order and a Luciferian agenda. Bet. Now, when it comes to that scepter with the cross, this guy Ray says, these emblems are not only meant to be carried, but they're extending the body visually in very powerful ways. You're holding the earth, and it's a Christian. You're wearing a crown, so it extends your head. You become all-powerful, almighty, in a way in which ordinary human beings don't. And of course, it's formalized through ritual. All right. And I won't keep belaboring the point of this is a ritual. They're telling you it's what it is, right? Let's talk about the clothing, the coronation vestments. Ray describes the importance of wearing regalia that a monarch's parent and grandparent wore before them. It's almost like channeling their heritage, their legacy, their bodies, their regal bodies through your own on a day like this. These are not just material accoutrement. They come very loaded with multiple meanings of the past, the historical past, the personal past, the familial past. And the question is, what heritage are they channeling? Well, stay tuned. We're coming up to the conclusion, the exciting conclusion, where we find out it's lizard people. Maybe. One more symbol to talk about. The throne is a big one. Because King Charles sat on the coronation chair during the ceremony. And this thing, it's been there for 700 years since Edward I used it to enclose the Stone of Scone, a.k.a. the Stone of Destiny, which was taken from Scotland in 1296, where they'd previously used it to crown their kings for hundreds of years. Then the Scots stole it back in 1950, then it went back to England a year later. Then in 1996, the Prime Minister said they would return the stone to Scotland under the agreement that they could still use it for the coronations. And you can apparently see it typically at the Edinburgh Castle. It said online that in 2024, it's going to be moved to Perth, Scotland, right next to Scone, Scotland, where it apparently came from. Now, it's interesting. The Stone of Destiny, the Stone of Scones, is... if you're not... Look, when I moved to Utah, they have these things called scones. It's basically just fried bread. But, man, it's making me hungry. Just fried bread, and you put a ton of butter on it. Then you get sick and you curl up in the fetal position. We call it the butter shutters over here. Anyway, the stone. Okay, so the Stone of Scone. Man, I'm getting hungry talking like this. Jacob's Pillow Stone is what they're referring to. Yes, the actual stone that Jacob from the Bible rested his head on in the book of Genesis, where he had that dream of a ladder going to the heavens and these angels ascending and descending. You could argue maybe those were entities or aliens or finding a portal, a vortex to another dimension. Either way, Jacob then consecrated the stone to God, and he then sold the rights to a movie called Jacob's Ladder, made in the 80s. Which, ironically, the script for Jacob's Ladder, written by Bruce Rubin, he had dropped acid and spent 2 years at a Tibetan Buddhist monastery. Fun fact. But anyways, the prophet Jeremiah allegedly brought it to Ireland, and then the Scots got it, and so on. And there's a legend that the reason the British royals want this so bad is because they are descendants of King David. That's right. All the way back to the bloodline. So there you go. That's all the symbolism of the coronation of 2023. In conclusion, what's going on here? King Charles... given the crown, he's the king now, okay? King Charles, an interesting character. Arguably, allegedly, possibly, behind the premature death of Princess Diana. Some people would say. I'm not saying that. Some people would say that. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. But I did talk about it in an entire chapter of my very first book. my very first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, Fresh Red Pill Isaac, Overzealous Isaac. You can get it for free right now. For a little while longer. I don't know how much longer I'm going to do this. You can get it free. If you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, sign up for the free email newsletter, the free book link, you'll see. And I will send you my first book for free. And it has a whole chapter on Princess Diana. In fact, fun fact, I don't know if I talked about this in the book, but back in the golden days of my blogging when I started out on IlluminatiWatcher.com, I posted an article talking about this documentary, Unlawful Killing, about Princess Diana. And I think what I had done was I posted a link to a website, because you couldn't get the movie. You couldn't find it anywhere. And there was a website that was hosting it, the video. And I posted a link to that website. And I left my house. I mean, we're talking like 2012, 2011. Left my house. I was doing whatever I was doing back then. Came back that night, logged on to see what was going on with the website. And it had been shut down. Shut down by some kind of UK ministry of something or the other. And I couldn't believe it. They apparently, don't ask me how. I mean, I wasn't even that big of a blog back then, but they somehow connected dots and, I don't know, reached through my host. I don't really know. I wish I would have kept all the emails, but yeah, they sure as hell shut the whole website down. You couldn't even get on it. So they mean business, which is why I'm saying up and down, left and right, allegedly, I have nothing to do with this. I don't know if it happened. This is no different than ancient aliens conspiracy theorists talking about aliens coming to visit. Maybe. Look in my eyes. Maybe. I don't know. Allegedly, right? But in that book, in my chapter, we talk about different things, like how Princess Diana and King Charles there, they got married at St. Paul's Cathedral, which is built on top of an ancient moon goddess ritual site dedicated to ... Diana, right? Because Diana is a moon goddess. And then in the Pont d'Alma tunnel, allegedly it translates to passage of the moon goddess. And after Princess Diana was killed there, they built a black pentagram called the Flame of Liberty. And I also talk about how, if all of that seems like a stretch, before Diana died, she wrote a letter literally saying, "My husband is planning on killing me in a car accident." It's called the Mishkan note, if you don't believe me. So here we are celebrating King Charles all these years later. And maybe that's why we saw that Grim Reaper walking around in the back. Let's talk about that Grim Reaper. It's mad creepy, right? You've seen the video clip. It looked a lot to me like the infamous jump scare in Exorcist 2, if you've seen that. I don't want to spoil it for you. It's one of the greatest jump scares in cinematic history. But yeah, this Grim Reaper seemed to be walking around. A lot of conspiracy people sort of shared the videos on it and stuff. I know a friend of the show, Donut, and Tommy Truthful, they did a show on it. I haven't listened to it yet. I saw Tommy had a post about it. And Tommy was drawing the connections of Saturn to the Grim Reaper. And the coronation was, of course, on Saturn Day, right? And of course, you know, the Grim Reaper is tied to Saturn. The Grim Reaper is Kronos because Saturn is the force of time and measurements. And in terms of the occult history of the world, they believe that Saturn is a force that introduced death. And through death, we have life. The example I always give that makes the most sense to me, because there's a whole thing about it, right? But they say that man could not formulate thoughts about his own consciousness until he formed a brain, in terms of evolution, right? And man needed that frontal lobe in order to have these thoughts, these higher abstraction thoughts. Well, how did that happen? Through the development of the skull. And what is the skull? It is dead matter. Right? So that's one of the principles. Saturn brings about the constraints, the time, the measurements, which also introduces the idea of an end, a beginning and an end, if you're measuring time. So was that the Grim Reaper? I sure as hell don't know. It was creepy. I know that much. And then in a related point, people are saying that, well, this coronation happened 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days after Queen Elizabeth's death. And if you... Okay, so Queen Elizabeth died September 8th, 2022. The coronation was May 6th, 2023. And if you take the difference, that's 240 days. And it takes a little bit of mental gymnastics to get to 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days. Because it would actually be... 7 months, 2 weeks, and 6 days. But they sort of, stretched it a little bit. Maybe, right? But Saturn is the sixth planet. That's where the six sort of evil comes from. Sixth planet from the sun. Who was considered the adversary, because back then they didn't know there's more planets than the six. So it was considered the outermost adversary, or the Satan. And speaking of Satan, guess who showed up at the coronation? It wasn't just Katy Perry and Lionel Richie and King Charles and Tom Cruise and Lil Harry, little Prince Harry. Prince Andrew was there, that's right. Buddies with Epstein, who was probably watching it live from his island in wherever, Atlantis. And I posted this on my Instagram. You really got to see it to believe it. But, in fact, I mean, I could play the clip, but I don't think it would do it any justice. So you got to go to my Instagram, instagram.com/IsaacWiseHop, or whatever you take to get there. But I was watching the 6 hours of terror, and there's a point where they show people assembling into the Abbey there, and it shows Prince Harry and Prince Andrew walking in sort of together. And right when the announcers see that, they say, oh, is that Prince Andrew? Boom, the camera's cut. The camera's cut right back to the parade. Unbelievable. Check it out. And don't get me started on Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. They drive me nuts. Constantly whining to the press about how they want to be left alone by the press. Whatever. I mean, they seem fine. I watched the whole Netflix thing. I don't know. They seem fine. It just seems pretty shady how they're like, we just want to be left alone. Proceed to make Netflix $1 billion deals and podcast $1 billion deals and constant interviews. Like, give me a break. I do sympathize, though. I mean, if you believe the story they tell, because I think Prince Harry, he watched his mom get killed by the press or whoever. And I think he was worried about his wife going down the same route. So I respect that, I respect that element of it. But the big topic here, the big to-do here is this royal bloodline, this divine right to rule, the ritual you needed to take part of to confirm that divine right. It comes from this bloodline, this ancient ritual, transferring the power only to those who deserve it. Not you, not me. But the lizard people. And there was tons of protesters. They sure didn't show up on that 5-hour NBC footage. I saw the images, though. They were holding signs that said, not my king, and abolish the monarchy, and all that stuff. Lots of people got arrested. CNN said they had over 11,000 police officers in London. And they used facial recognition technology. That's the whole problem with technology. Promising us constantly it's going to make our lives better. But what are they really doing with it? Surveillance states. I'm going to read you from CNN. It says, last year, the Police Crime Sentencing and Courts Act 2022 significantly broadened the range of circumstances in which police may impose conditions on a protest. Under the new act, it is an offense for protesters to intentionally or recklessly cause public nuisance, including causing serious annoyance. In a statement to CNN, Liberty said this act has made it much harder for people to stand up for what they believe without facing the risk of criminalization. Now listen to this timing. On Tuesday, a new law called the Public Order Act received royal assent from King Charles, which is a formality and the final hurdle before a bill becomes law. It will give police the powers to prevent disruption at major sporting and cultural events taking place this summer in England and Wales. Isn't that handy? Specific measures in the act were introduced from Wednesday. Under this law, long-standing protest tactics such as locking on, where protesters physically attach themselves to things like buildings, could lead to a 6-month prison sentence or unlimited fine. So there you go. And I remember the Olympics when they were in London, there was a huge to-do about the surveillance there with the facial recognition stuff. And last but not least, lizard people. Are they lizard people? I don't know. Let's take a look to David Icke. Let's see what he says. And I read about this. I actually heard about this on the Freedom Road VHS tape. And I read about it. I've got Human Race, Get Off Your Knees. But he's talked about it in other books more in depth, like The Biggest Secret. And the gist of it is that hybrid bloodlines that are genetic unions of humans with aliens is what this is all about. They are the star people. And David Icke talks about how the bloodline of the Illuminati, which is the lizard people, created humans to be slaves. This goes back to Zechariah Sitchin, ancient alien stuff, right? And apparently the meanest ones of the whole bunch are from the Draco constellation. Draco, of course, meaning dragon. And this gets into all the reptilian serpent stuff. Like, he was palling around with the Zulu shaman Credo Mutwa back in the day. And Credo Mutwa said that the Zulu used to call these people the Nomo. Remember earlier we talked about the Dogon tribe and the Nomo fish people. Well, apparently that myth, that story is also shared by the Zulu tribe. Now, these nasties, they use human energy for sustenance. And, of course, the children are the purest, so they're drinking the blood for this form of energy. And this goes into many different shows we've talked about over the years. Movies like Dr. Sleep, Monsters, Inc. I mean, it goes on and on, right? This gets into the adrenochrome talk, basically. And this is where the vampire legends come from. They say, David Icke claims that these shape-shifting lizard people live in the fourth dimension and they need the energy, the sustenance, and the blood for them to stay in our three-dimensional world. And this Draco constellation, he's a good example of Bram Stoker's Dracula, okay? Based upon Vlad the Impaler. Vlad the Impaler allegedly would take, he would dip his bread in the blood of his enemies, right? The ops, as the kids would say. And Vlad the Impaler's dad was Vlad Dracul. All right. And Vlad Dracul was initiated into the Order of the Dragon by the Holy Roman Emperor, and this lineage goes all the way back to ancient Egypt to the Brotherhood of the Snake. So this basically this secret society. So Dracul's son, Dracula, Vlad the Impaler, was not initiated into the order, but I guess practiced some of their things. I don't really get it. But either way, that's where the whole idea of vampires drinking blood comes from. It comes from a real practice. And supposedly, and I think this is real, if you look it up, Queen Elizabeth II's grandmother, Queen Mary, a.k.a. Mary of Teck, descended from Dracula's sister. And it's true. All these King Charles and Queen Elizabeth, they all have Dracula's blood coursing through their veins. Now, this goes into, you know, let's talk about these reptilian bloodlines and the Chita Uri, as the Zulu Credo Mutwa would say. And suppose, and David Icke says the bloodlines are include the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and of course the House of Windsor, this the royal family. And this is where that divine right to rule comes from. All right, and that's what it's all about. So the big plan is global dominance, reinstituting Babylon. Icke calls it the global Babylon as the plan. And to recap, that's probably why you have so much symbolism to Babylon on here, with the fish head and the bloodlines and Osiris and the phalluses. A lot of symbolism related to sex magic, the foundational magic of all creation. Because again, the Helena Blavatsky said, the new religion is the old religion. They're trying desperately to instill the new Aeon of Horus, the Thelema, the old religion, the old ways. And it's all related to sex magic. I did two episodes on sex magic. I'll post the link in the show notes. If you're not familiar with it, that's a very deep dive that you should check out. So check that out. And check out, what was the other show I was plugging on here that you need to listen to? I don't even know. I lost track. I thought I wrote it down. Anyway, check out the link in the show notes. There's a show or two for you to check out. And I will also put a link to where you can get the book. Get my book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, for free. Sign up on my email newsletter. I'll put the link in the show notes as well. And that's it, right? That's the coronation. Hope you enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great time. Talking about the Grim Reaper, Dracula, lizard people. I love the lizard people. So stay subscribed to the show. Check out those links in the show notes. Go get that book for free. Take a look. And until next time, stay woke.